Let's come and take God's word and hear the reading of God's word from Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Many of us will remember Hosea as one who showed love even when love should not be shown, or would normally not be shown. And he was called upon God to marry an unfaithful wife, who was actually a lady of ill repute in the town. And he was to display this as a sign of the love of God to the people of Israel, who had become unfaithful and become a nation of ill repute amongst the nations. And yet the mercy of God was going to fulfill the covenant that had been established before God and his people. There would not be a breaking of the covenant. There would be many things that God would use as an anvil to bring about repentance, but God was going to bring about that repentance in the fullness of time. So what I'm going to look at today is I failed to get through the passage I set down for myself or for us all together last Lord's Day in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6. And I want to look at the relationship of righteousness by faith, that is, that faith that worketh love. Faith that worketh love. And this, wherever there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. And it will work out in many, many ways in works of righteousness. And the righteousness of God will be manifest in us. It's an unbendable spiritual law or principle in the heart of every Christian. And I want to emphasize that now, that it's the love of God that arises from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that achieves the righteousness of God in our lives, which we hope for. And it's not yet fulfilled, necessarily, but it is increasingly and ever-increasingly in sanctifying grace increases in our lives, and that gives us assurance and strength of faith to go to another stage in our Christian lives. So I want to look at that very practical aspect of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that that produces love, and love that produces righteousness. So there we're finding those two passages. The other passages in Galatians chapter 5. First we open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We saw last week that there was a change of direction or a change or an end of a section, a beginning of a new section, if you like, within this book. And we are hearing the imperative, the command of God's word. It's not just describing what Christians are now, but on the basis of what we are, that is the indicative, that is what we have become in Christ. He then says, therefore, and wherever he says therefore, we must look at what was it therefore that we are what we are. He says, stand fast therefore. In the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, these Christians had been entangled with putting their faith in that which is not going to save them. They were putting their faith in tradition. They were putting their faith in the church, in Judaism, in their case. And there are a lot of people around that are putting their faith making even an idol out of the church. You know, I've had people in the church, been workers in the church for years upon years. There is very little conversation, very little about their lives that are Christ-like. They are those that are church-like. They are pillars of the church, but not those who are living by faith in Christ. It is really just an add-on to them. Is their love for Christ. It's just something that they get comfort from in being associated with a group. And this is exactly what, for safety reasons, for social reasons maybe, for harmony, social harmony, they've said, we'll return to or go to Judaism because in that sort of condition, we're not going to get persecuted as heavily. And so they went that way. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, in verse 2, that if you become circumcised like the Judaizers, Christ will not profit you anything or nothing. In other words, you are really putting your trust in a mere ritual. And the church is full of that today. You know, if you speak in tongues like me, like the church requires you to, you go off into a babbling brook, then you are one of us. You've been baptized in the Spirit, and therefore somehow you will be saved. That's really a stupidity at the last gasp. Or if you're a high Anglican or sometimes Presbyterians, if you get baptized as a child, that's going to save you. Now, no baptism as a child will ever save you. Or if you're a Baptist and you think, well, I'll just join this club and I'll get baptized as an adult, then I'll be a real Christian. And just going through the ritual saves nobody. It is just a ritual. And therefore, we need to be very careful. It profits you nothing. Just having a badge of identity profits you nothing. You've got to have the substance of Christ within you. That is what's required. In other words, don't draw near with your lips only to Christ. To draw near with your lips only leads to hypocrisy. He goes on, he says, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised. In other words, this outward ritual. And I was, you know, there is a circumcision of the heart that's required, really. That he is a debtor to keep the whole law. And you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. We looked at that last Lord's Day, being those that have fallen from grace. Now, this is a subject I want to deal with today. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. There is a couplet there, the hope of righteousness. And we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. By faith. And faith in what? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working through love. Now we see some very interesting connections of words there. My overall thoughts today, I want to look at the whole idea of righteousness by faith. It speaks of it here, this getting the righteousness of God. And it's righteousness that is established through our faith in the one that who establishes righteousness. It's not in the law, as the Jews had become to believe, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ that the law of righteousness, the righteousness of God, is established. And so, therefore, if there is any faith in Christ, there must necessity be righteousness. It is a thing that follows by a natural progression of spiritual graces that come in our lives. And we find that this whole establishing the righteousness of God by faith is faith not in the church, is faith not in good things or in our education, is faith pure and simple in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where everything emanates from. And this faith working is working through love, and it is an incongruous thing that if we are those that are faithful, that we are not those who are lovers of God. And we need to understand that that is the sort of connections we have here. But it's not through some sort of dutiful service that is that somehow in our good nature to achieve that achieves these things. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to an unction from God that is given to us in the Spirit. And the Spirit worketh righteousness in our lives. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. Certainly, that righteousness that we receive by faith at the point of conversion is credited to our account as though we've never sinned ever in our lives. That's how the account has been paid. All our debts have been paid. But there is a righteousness that is worked in our lives that is gradually and ever increasingly becoming more and more part of our lives. And we call that the sanctifying grace of God. But this is not something that is established by some kind of determination of the flesh, but it is something that is established by God himself as we live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the giver of life. And so this Spirit of God that leads us to the grace of and the graces of God to be appropriated into our lives is producing the righteousness of God. And this righteousness of God is emanating from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And these are the works of God within our lives. And as we see the works of God in our lives, we cannot attribute it to our flesh, that is the old man that is passing away, but it is to the new man that has been established in our lives
by the reworking of God or the reestablishing of life eternal in our hearts with a new heart, that it distinctively lives by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people who are in the Christian church that really only have an attachment to the idea of Jesus Christ as a historical figure or as a teacher. But they do not speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal relationship with him every day. There is nothing about the Christian that does not wish to know more about Christ and more about what his work has been done on our behalf. People who do not know how they were saved after reading the scriptures seems to me an incongruous thing. It seems to be a thing that I cannot understand. The first thing that a Christian comes to understand is that Jesus has forgiven their sins. And they know that in and of themselves. The Spirit witnesses within our own spirit that we are Christ's. And a relationship with Christ becomes very evident in that person. They begin to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ because they're beginning to walk with Christ. So people who talk, who are Christians, will talk a lot about the lover that they have come to understand and experience. So here the point that we need to understand is that it is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings the hope of righteousness ever increasingly in our lives, and that it molds itself in the character of Christ within us and the image of Christ within us. And then we will see that at the end product of this is the love of God that is the main motivator in all these things. See, faith always produces love. It's not the other way around. And it says here quite clearly that it is a clear product of true faith that it works through love. Now, when faith has anything to do, it is like that grace of God that walks in the field, and it always has love at her side. And these two graces are inseparable. When we find people learning about the doctrines of the scriptures intellectually, I find that they lack this love. But if they're growing in the doctrines of the scriptures experientially and as part of their personal expression of their Christian faith, it will always be mixed with the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart. It is absolutely incongruous to think that there is a Christian that does not have the love of God in his heart. It is totally not possible. I always often think of Mary and Martha at this point. You remember the story of Mary and Martha, who was so close to the Lord Jesus? Mary was liking one who can be likened to faith. She wants to be at the feet of Jesus and learning of the things of God. Martha was like the love of God. She was about doing things. And when Martha rebuked her sister, "Come on, come along and help me with this washing up," well, this chore around the house, Jesus said she is wanting the greater thing at the moment. She needs to be built up in her faith. It's not that she will not be doing these things later on, but she wants to be built up in her faith
so she's doing her chores in the love of God rather than the other way around. Put Christ first. And then that putting Christ first will lead us to the loving service. Faith is like light, while love is like the heat of that light. It's an inseparable thing. And in every beam of grace, there is the coming from the Son of Righteousness. God will find a measure of each in us. It is by necessity that the necessity of faith's own nature. The moment a man believes in Jesus Christ, he loves him as a matter of course. It is actually a spiritual law or principle that comes about. Faith creates love as summer breeds flowers. And so we need to understand that. It's by this love that discovers the beauty of Christ, this faith that sets their heart upon the things of Christ. We learn of the redemptive work of Christ. We learn of the doctrines of Christ's covenant. We learn of the glories of the character of Christ from the Scriptures. And there's a resonance within our hearts immediately. This is liberating to us. This is knowledge that we cannot do without in our hearts. And we find ourselves growing in our faith. But in growing our faith, we're also growing in our love for Christ. And you get somebody who is doing something out of a dutiful service because they're being paid. But then get another person who, just because of the love of it, does it. I take the guy who just loves it and does it than the person that's being paid for it because he's got a sense of duty. See, a person will only ever give that which he's been paid for if he is doing it by duty. And duty is a very strong thing. It will achieve many things. But in this case, it does not achieve the work of God. It must arise out of love. Faith is the soul's eyes. And it is telescoped upon the things we see from afar off that normally would be invisible to us if we did not have eyes for Christ. If we've got eyes for Christ, our faith is doing it. And we will find that we'll be able to allow our holy faith to graze upon the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And realizing his person, we discern his matchless work, and so creates knowledge out of which comes love, the love for Christ. Now, is this our experience? Is it the kind of thing that we experience in our lives? These are the kind of things, if you're living by faith, will be established. It's not if it might be, it will be there. A lot of people are looking for some kind of revival of soul. But revival always comes according to this law. As we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so our love will be ignited within our souls. And if our love has been ignited within our souls, a hope of righteousness, we hunger and thirst for righteousness, is the product of true confidence as we walk with God. And if we've got confident spirits, we will go
to the ends of the earth in feats of faith that defies any human flesh that can do that can be done by the human flesh. This kind of spiritual attitude is able to discern, able to enjoy the mercies of God, and to lead and leading our hearts to a grateful and acknowledgement that the source of all our mercies come from Jesus Christ himself, from God himself. And therefore, there's no room for over-familiarity. There's no room for attitudes that somehow minimize Christ within our lives. We will find that by our familiarity with God, we will be those that will be burning in our hearts for the things of God. I look to those things, and I know that there's ebbs and flows in every Christian's life. There are times when our heart burns for the things of God, and there are times when they become cold. And if they become cold, it is that our eyes are not fixed upon Jesus Christ in true faith. Our familiarity with Christ soon beckons for the fellowship and the fellowship of disposition and the Spirit, for they that are much with Christ become more like Christ. And we need to be much with Christ. And then we'll see that there'll be many things that we'll be doing that people will say, I've never seen Jesus Christ, but I've seen you. And I know that you represent Christ because I can see the grace and the love of God in your heart. Now, love is entirely dependent upon our faith. We haven't got that message yet. Our faith is the eyes and is where our eyes are. That's where we grow in love. And love does not work of itself except in the strength of faith. If a person is strong in faith, he will be strong in the love of God as well. If there is not the love of God in his heart, he will not be a person who is strong in faith, even though he might be theologically correct and he might be a very strong church pillar and he might be a holding office in the church and all the other things. He might appear to be these things, but in actual fact, he's a fraud if we have not got our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is I'm trying to find a word. Faith is the it'll come to me. Faith has its seal in love. And love is the basis of faith, you know, is the basis of our faith. So the two go together. I'm not explaining that very well, but we'll talk about this after the service and we'll understand a lot better then. But love cannot flourish except as faith flourishes, you know. And if you're finding that you really are waxing cold in your love for Christ, My best advice to you is to read the Word of God, not just to read it as a matter of routine, but read it so that you get to know Christ better and understand the principles of the Word of God and of what Christ has done for us, and allow that to fall over our hearts. And as that strengthens us, we will find ourselves loving God, and we cannot help but do it. Love cannot work without faith either. Love is the great designer and planner, but how to perform it unless faith shows us the way? Now, also we need to see that faith displays its power by love. And faith does not something that is really displayed by its works, and its works is love. If I took a silversmith, and I would not know the greatness of the silversmith until I saw his works, and the beauty of his works. Once I saw his beauty in his works, then I'd understand how great this craftsman is. But it is true also in the Christian's life. We cannot see the genuineness of the Christian until we see his works. Now, we will know that we are Christians, but those who are outside watching our lives cannot see it until they see your works. Now, you know, a person who has got silversmith over the top of his workshop, but he's not producing any good products, you're not going to buy much from him, are you? And so it is for us as well. We can have Christian over our the doorpost, the lintels of our heart, of our house, but unless that which is in keeping to biblical standards is happening in our house as a result of our love for God, you can't really see whether this person is a Christian or not. Now, that's true of all of us. Our faith does not lift a finger without love. And faith does not believe and resolve anything until it has seen the actions of that faith. And so faith without love is like a cripple without arms. He cannot do it. And so we need to be those that are constantly about the work of God, because we love God, not because of mere duty, but because we love God. Then we will see the great rewards of living by faith. Faith has his tools as well, doesn't he? He has a hammer. He has a file. And being a manual arts teacher, I know all about these tools. Now, they're very useful things. And an anvil. And it is every thing that we need in a workshop needs to be used. But the poor old piece of timber that you are cutting and sawing, or the poor old piece of metal that you are moulding, is undergoing all sorts of transformations, all sorts of difficulties. For the silversmith to mould its beautiful piece of artwork, it had to go through all sorts of hammerings and all sorts of transformations that would have been very difficult for the piece of metal to undergo to produce the kind of result that the silversmith wants. And so the anvil is very important for a silversmith. The hammer is absolutely imperative, and so it is in God's. We are in God's hands. Persecution, times of desertion, difficulties within our hearts, and difficulties from within our within our families are all used as instruments or tools of God's providence in our lives to produce the kind of result that he wants in us first. And therefore being within us, it can also be useful within the kingdom of God. And so faith needs that furnace of fire so that the metal of our characters can be softened and poured into the mold of love, and we'll be absolutely conformed to the image of Christ that we are to be exhibiting. And so I see these illustrations very helpful. As we see every good work produced, it is produced very often through the times of hardship, times of great difficulty and perplexity and complexity, through hard work. And, you know, walking by the Spirit is not some kind of easy street. I say walking by faith is the most difficult thing that any human being can do. Indeed, it's impossible for us to do it unless the Spirit of God was doing it. And I often say to people, the Christian life is not just difficult. It's not easy. It's impossible. And unless the Spirit of God lifts us up like eagles upon wings, we will not be able to do what God wants us to do. And that's why we must live by faith in the God of the impossible, so that we can achieve the things of God, not just the things that are possible through the flesh. And so as we interact between love and faith and hope and righteousness, as we see those interacting laws of God's spiritual dealings with us in our hearts, we will find many great difficulties. We shouldn't be perplexed by that. We will come through it if we've got our eyes set on Jesus. We'll see those perplexities, those difficulties, and those horrible times we had to walk through. The fact is that Jesus has been with us, and that makes it all possible. Let us be perfected in these things as we press on, because all the fears that might come upon us and all the uncomfortable things that happen to us, we've got to remember this one thing, that perfect love casts out fear. And the only love that we need, the only fear we need to have, is that perfect love of God that fears God in everything we do. And so let us be reminded of these things as we press on. A lot of people are very perplexed when hard times come and things, difficult things happen to Christians. And we say, oh, I don't want to walk this Christian way. Because look at Richard. He's had all these terrible things that happened to him. Or you might have said, look at this person. He's a Christian, and look at all the terrible things that have happened to them. But in the midst of all that, the perfect work of God's righteousness has been worked in that person's life in a way that's going to make him more fit for heaven than we would have if we didn't go through those difficulties. I tell you, there have been difficulties in my life that I wish not anybody to go through. I wouldn't even wish them on my worst enemies. But I look back on them now and say, thank God for those experiences. Because now I can see through the eye of faith and the eye of the love of God and the eye of righteousness that God has been with me in those things. Thanks be to God. Well, let us sing the Psalm 8.